Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. This episode of the Wave Break podcast is brought to you by Klaviyo, the growth marketing platform most recommended by other business leaders. Listen, in uncertain times, you need to be supporting your community and growing relationships with your customers. It's going to be appreciated. It's going to be remembered. It's going to be shared. And in good times and bad, this type of communication that's open and empathetic with your customers is key. This is a key theme that we've been talking about at Wavebreak. I've been preaching this on the podcast. And when you're communicating with your customers in this way, the best way to do this is with email. It is and always will be one of the best channels for delivering communication like this. And what I love about Klaviyo is that email is one of its core offerings. And their personalization that you can do inside Klaviyo is just, it can't be beat. And when you leverage that personalization driven by a 360 degree view of the customer, these emails are going to feel more relevant and they're going to drive even stronger relationships. And Klaviyo gets it. They're not just, you know, some company. They understand how challenging it is right now for every entrepreneur. You know, it was hard to get your business off the ground, and navigating these times is even harder. And if you're feeling overwhelmed with growing your business, know that you're not alone. Klaviyo is here to help you build relationships across any distance for your brand and create memorable and meaningful email marketing moments that last a lifetime. And that's how you build a successful e-commerce brand. And this is why I love Klaviyo so much, because they're on the same page with me and Wavebreak. Is like, we're not just about making more revenue. That's great. But what this is really about is an opportunity to create an amazing community with your customers. And the best way to do it is with email. And if you're not on Klaviyo, you gotta get on Klaviyo. Visit klaviyo.com to schedule a free trial. That's Klaviyo.com. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Wavebreak podcast, the e-commerce podcast for marketing and e-commerce leaders who want their brand to reach its full potential. I'm really excited for this episode, and if you're new here, I'm Dylan Kelly. I'm the founder and CEO of Wavebreak. As competition increases and ad costs get more expensive, the most important thing you can do is double down on your customers, and that's exactly why Wavebreak exists. We're a leading email and SMS marketing agency that specializes in helping high-growth brands maximize their email and SMS marketing revenue. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you haven't reached out to us, and you know you're not getting the most out of your email and SMS marketing, hit us up, learn more at wavebreak.co/call, or just go to wavebreak.co, and you can check us out there, schedule time with our director of brand partnerships, Takara, who's been on the podcast before, and she actually has a special podcast that'll be launching soon, quick insider info, so really excited for her to get that out as well. Stay tuned for that. She's got some amazing guests, some even better than ones that I've talked to. So I'm really excited. A lot of interesting perspective. We're talking billion-dollar brands, billion-dollar exits. So really excited for that. So stay tuned. That's a new podcast coming from our director of brand partnerships, Takara Suet. And in the meantime, I'm really excited for this episode with Andrew Morgans, founder of Marknology. They run a lot of Amazon brands, I think over 50. We're talking on Amazon. We're talking off Amazon. And we're going to be diving into how you can scale on Amazon and add another stream of customers to your business to double down, diversify, and maximize your brand's impact. So without further ado, let's hop right into it. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Andrew.
Thanks for having me on, Dylan, and beautiful intro. I'm excited. I heard your podcast, you know, a little shout out with Michael Epstein on the Auto Anything, the nine-figure business. They kind of came in and turned around, and just loved your guys' insight on personalization and text and email marketing. And while I focus all day, every day, and my team focuses all day, every day on Amazon, I do own my own brands, build my own brands, and do some full e-commerce. So I was just really tuned in, dialed in, and was loving what you guys had to say. You know, reached out and found out we have this mutual brand in common as well that we're both working on. So that's, you know, it's going to be fun to chat about today, but just excited to meet another partner of brands that's working very, very close with brands that we work with as well, that is doing high quality work and, you know, doing cool things in the e-commerce space. So happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yes. Super excited for this one. And for that exact reason, it's like we were talking about before, like it's hard to find great people. So when you find great people, you got to keep them close. And so let's just dive into it. So I kind of gave the background of the client that we're working with, high growth brand,
you know, everybody knows and really looks up to. It's like one of the ones in the D2C space that if you mention, you're like, oh, we work with X company, people are like, oh, wow, I love their stuff. We're not going to go into the details because, you know, we're going to be sharing like behind the scenes stuff. So don't want to put their name out there or anything. But yeah, I mean, basically what we saw is like they were on a rapid growth trajectory, which is typically when, you know, the up and coming brands come to us. They're doing a lot of revenue. They've nailed acquisition. And then they bring us on because they're not doing enough on the back end. So their email, their SMS, those types of channels, just not really maximizing what they're doing. And so they brought us on to do that. We helped kind of propel them to the next level on their .com site. And then now they're looking to scale and, you know, dominate even more. And so they're bringing Amazon into the mix. Like, curious your perspective, Andrew. Like, so let's say, you know, I'm running a similar brand. I've grown it. I'm doing direct to consumer. Haven't really touched Amazon. To be honest, I might even hate Amazon because of, you know, it's like the big evil giant. But at the same time, it's like, if you tap into it, you can do a lot of revenue. You can reach a lot more customers. It can be really great for your business. So like, just in general, like, yeah, just like, what are your thoughts on Amazon and how it fits into like the D2C brand, the e-commerce digitally native brand? Like, how do you see it fitting in? And like, when does it make sense for a brand to start thinking about Amazon and scaling out on that channel?
Yeah, well, for your listeners, like, first of all, I've been helping brands in the Amazon space for 9 years. So I'm all in, okay, as far as like believing in Amazon, as far as a growth channel and a place to be. So we'll start with that, like, let that be known. But coming from that angle, you know, specifically with this brand, I think that there's no one way to do anything. And what I mean by that is like some brands go brick and mortar first. Some are focused on D2C through the website. You know, some of them are selling online through resellers so that they're online, but then using brick and mortar. And, you know, there's just a million different ways to play. I'm an expert in the Amazon space, so I obviously love to have like the ability to control more. And if you're selling on Amazon or you're managing it in-house, we get a lot more control from customer data to attribution to understanding what keywords work for you and don't, to just the massive market that is Amazon and being able to tap into it. So, you know, there's so much feedback and content out there that's just like, this is the way to do it. And I don't necessarily agree with that. We get a lot of brands that aren't selling at all on their website. Maybe they're just they've been doing great through wholesale. They're, 100-year-old companies that have been in wholesale. And so Amazon is an easier place to start, in my opinion, than just putting up a website and figuring out acquisition and all of that. I think that this brand particularly is doing it exactly right, which was get acquisition, then lean up, and, you know, cross sell and cross market. And then they're approaching Amazon. They, at the same time, they were on Amazon. They just weren't doing the most, so to speak. So they were there just so that if people kind of like searched their brand, they would be found, but not doing anything to acquire new customers, really. More so just being available for their customers that wanted to come there. Because whether you like it or not, if you're a brand, you know, selling online, you're going to have customers that buy from you that are going to Amazon and looking for you. And you're either there or you're not. Maybe they're finding a competitor. Maybe there's competitors bidding on your brand name. Maybe there's other people selling your product that looks like shit. Any number of things could be the case. So I think if one is just coming to terms that like, look, a lot of your customers are going to Amazon. Let's just agree on that. And then how well do you want that program to run is kind of the next key. And like, how much effort and attention do you want to put into it? I am all in on Amazon. It's a huge, huge opportunity for brands to really, really grow their business. And I've never seen an Amazon account grow and a website not grow alongside with it. They don't cannibalize. It's very much like a tandem thing.
Yeah.
Rest my case. You should be on Amazon.
Yeah, no, I love that. And like, there's so many people buying on Amazon and there's so much revenue. And like, what's really cool is like, you get access to the marketplace that already has customers. So like, yep. How does that typically play out too for brands? Like for brands who aren't on Amazon yet, like they're worried about the margins, they're worried about the rules. Like what does that typically look like? And like, what should you be thinking about? Or like, what are some things people are usually worried about that might not be true when it comes to launching into Amazon?
Well, I think that, you know, fear has driven a lot of people when it comes to being on Amazon or not being on Amazon, their fear of what they don't know. And so I think it's if you don't have that expertise or you don't have in-house talent or you don't have anyone that wants to take on that challenge, then you need to hire out. right? And I'm not doing that as a sales pitch for Marknology. I'm just like, for every kind of hesitation that someone has around Amazon, I've probably got a response or a workaround or, you know, something to do with that, whether it's profitability, I have tools that can help us get there. If I can be profitable selling seasonings on Amazon, then I can probably be profitable selling your product, you know? So it's just, do you know how to do it? Do you know the rules? Do you know the differences? Are you resistant to change? Are you an early mover? Or do you play super safe? I think the pandemic has punched everyone in the mouth in so many ways in business and said, hey, you were stupid not to be in e-commerce. And, you know, if you weren't in e-commerce at all, then if you were, you were doing your own website, you were half better than everyone else. And if you're on Amazon, you were a winner this year, you know, during the pandemic. And it wasn't just the pandemic, but I think it got a lot more people on board. And so instead of selling, like, should you be on Amazon anymore? It's more so how and who you're going to work with.
Mm. Yeah, that's super interesting. And like, how do you usually allow, or like, how do you make Amazon and like your .com site work in tandem? I mean, like, that's something we do.
Yeah, this is to me the gold, right? Yeah. This is the gold, and this is where my passion lies. Like, I do believe that I've figured Amazon out at a high level, at least like, you know, the algorithm, how things work, what you should be doing, how to optimize it, how to grow it. We're growing, like, you know, we've grown brands by the millions for years and years and years. It continues to happen. So I do believe that that's the thing. And now it's been my really passion is how does this and your e-commerce site and your social media and your brick and mortar all tie in together? And I think that is the game, right? That is what are some of the little ways that you can continue to talk or reach your customers? And that's where, like, you know, I was listening to the Wave Break podcast with you and Michael Epstein was someone had sent me that specific podcast and said, hey, this is a good one. I think you should listen to it. And I'm always just trying to figure out what the other companies are doing, what the other agencies are doing to grow brands off Amazon, because you can either use those same tactics to grow the website, to launch products on Amazon, to continue to touch your customers. But an example would be this. Okay, you've got a product going out. Obviously, per Amazon's terms of service, you should follow those, but like include an insert in your box. Or in your supplement, have a sticker, have some way of engaging with your customers, with your product. Your product gets there. Maybe it's telling them to take a picture with the product in the unboxing, or when the baby's wearing the product, or when they've, like, you know, wrote their first thing on their felt letterboard, take a picture, hashtag, you know, tag us. We would love to share your pic. That's how you engage as a brand in 2021, right? Is from the insert to the follow-up emails or the follow-up text to make sure they got it. Was it like they wanted? How do you get them to come over to social media, or how do you get them to add your email address? Maybe you're an Amazon brand that has it where they need to come to the website to warranty their product, or maybe they come to the website because of an insert that says, hey, come here and get our free recipe guide. Or whatever the case might be, right? You got to try different things. But you're getting customers to then come off of Amazon, engage with your social media, or engage with your web. And then you're using that email list that you're building to launch your next product on Amazon. So you don't have to spend going against everyone that's just trying to use Amazon to build Amazon. You're using your email list or your text list to build Amazon. And you just start working them all in together, right? And I think that there's little ways to do it. I won't give out all my secrets, tips, and tricks, you know, but from a beta we're doing with Amazon attribution, where you're like running your Facebook ads to your landing page and you know a certain amount of traffic is coming to Amazon. What is that traffic? How much of your email list is going to Amazon and buying? Brands should know all of that, right? They should get as much data as possible to make decisions. And one thing that I really like, and I have yet to do it in a big way, is like, you know, collecting names, addresses, and following up an e-commerce strategy with that direct mail strategy, even from Amazon, is, I think, like, you know, a really big win. So I know I threw out a few there, but I'm super passionate about the space, and it's, you know, this is what brands aren't doing. They don't know it. They're not willing to put in the effort. They're not talking to someone that does know it, that can help them do it. And the smart brands are, you know, and those are going to be the ones that are here for a while.
Yeah. Like, should you, so like one thing I've seen some companies do, I don't know if this is good or bad, but like you go to their website and then like you can buy from them directly, or then they'll even put like a buy on Amazon button on their checkout page on the site. Curious your thoughts on that. Like, do you recommend doing that, or?
Yeah. So in the beginning, like when customers aren't doing that much on their web. So here's the thing about Amazon that like someone just optimizing for web wouldn't understand. Okay. And this is where you need like the teams to be on the same page. On Amazon, everything's about the algorithm, right? So in your world, it's like you want to get the you want to get their phone numbers to be able to text them. You want to get their email addresses so you can continue to follow up and increase the lifetime value of the customer. On Amazon, and you collect, you know, let's say that you know, between your Facebook ad and your hosting fees and your agencies and your consultants you're paying, you know, you've got a decent margin on the website. It's probably stronger than Amazon, even after all those fees. On Amazon, so you're collecting a little more money. On Amazon, you're not getting the phone number. You're not getting the email address. You might get their name and direct mailing address if you know what you're doing and using software for that. And so how do you continue to touch them? Well, with every sale that happens on Amazon, especially if you have like a consumable, you're able to get the subscribe and save. But with every sale that happens on Amazon, you get like a tick in the bestseller rank, right? So someone comes in under like Blue Raspberry pre-workout, they click on that keyword, they buy your product. One, your product just got a boost for that keyword. Two, in the bestseller rank, Amazon just saw, oh, a customer bought this item and liked it. Let's give it a plus. And so momentum becomes everything on Amazon. And it's about how much momentum can you get on these products? How can you optimize it to get it in search spot one or the top 10 results for 10 or 15 different keywords? Very similar to what you would do with an e-commerce site with SEO. But on Amazon, I guess what I'm trying to say is there's a reason that sellers would even push the traffic from their own website to Amazon, because the conversion rate would be very high when they do click over. Some people are of the mindset that it's not where you want your customers to buy, but instead, where do they want to buy, and make it as easy as possible for them. And so you're mixing in the strategy behind getting more sales to go through Amazon and thinking of it like an investment in that way, because with each sale that goes through, you sell more, you reach more customers. Whereas on the website, the sale that goes through, you might touch that same customer longer, but it's not really introducing you to more customers. Does that kind of explanation make a little sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And you can like optimize for like spike in Amazon orders to optimize your ranking on Amazon with like your .com traffic.
Correct. It, like, let's say your .com is doing amazing and you're like, look, I just want to shift attention for a couple months to my to Amazon to get some momentum. I don't want to pay a whole bunch of reviewers and pay like enormous PPC. So I'm going to use this email list, this text list I already have, right? Basically costs you nothing to use it other than maybe potential sales you would have gotten on your website from using it, right? You then push them through maybe with a special offer. Hey, we just launched on Amazon. We would love you to like, you know, if you've been a customer of us, like, you know, give us support us on Amazon. You know, maybe you're not even asking for a review. You just like support us on Amazon. You send out an email blast and you just see like a big spike of orders, right? And maybe you do that a couple times. Well, those reviews that come in, the sales traction that happens on that new account could have taken you 6 to 9 months to get that organically on your own, just trying to get that momentum. And you just did it with an email blast. So, you know, it's to each their own, but it's like, where do you want to invest? Okay, we're willing to just like diversify our strategy a little bit. And if we're running 3 Facebook ads, we have 2 going to the website and 1 going to Amazon, just so we can get it a little off Amazon traffic, because Amazon really rewards brands that bring traffic from outside of Amazon that brings customers to Amazon that convert. So Amazon kind of sees that as a real big plus one, so to speak, in the algorithm. So there's just a lot of high level strategy going on, and it's not all like all just super black and white. It can be what's our strategy at what given time.
Right. That makes sense. And then like, how does the review side of Amazon work nowadays also? Like, what is it looking like for 2021? Like, how can you incentivize reviews? How does that play into everything? And what's that landscape looking like for this year?
Well, you shouldn't incentivize reviews at all. I'll just be honest with that. And Amazon just had so many pirates, so to speak, like in the space in the early days. It wasn't legitimate brands like the one we're talking about. It was private label sellers, resellers, wholesalers. Basically, brands weren't coming to Amazon because they were afraid of it. Resellers were like, we'll do the work. You don't have to do anything different, but sell us your product. We'll put it up. Those people were really just about making a dollar. They didn't care about telling stories or doing actual branding work. You know, no offense to anyone listening, but like I know I was in that space, and resellers and wholesalers aren't branding experts. They're not storytellers, right?
Well, so it's like drop shipping too. Like, you know,
yeah.
And it also hasn't really scaled. Like you can't, like those people who are killing it like 4 or 5 years ago with that strategy, it's like they're not killing it now unless they really pivoted into building a real brand.
Right. All those resellers and drop shippers went to private label. And private label is growing. It's doing its thing. And that's like, you know, private label is XYZ company makes pet food. You want to start your own brand. So you contact them and create your own brand. They're the ones making it for you, right? For anyone listening, that's what private label is. And those brands exist on Amazon. That's the Thrass.io of the world and all these Amazon agencies that are like mine that are all rolling up together and buying brands. They're buying the private label brands. But to me, those are more like commodity brands built just for Amazon off the algorithm. Marknology, why we do work with some private label brands, that's not our forte. That's not what I enjoy. I enjoy brands that are building, that have a story to tell, that care about the branding, that care about the messaging, that have a purpose. It's just more enjoyable for me. So as I start to get to that level, I'm trying to seek out, you know, the brands that bring the most out of my team, and you know, like the brand we're talking about, just a lot more fun than supplement company XYZ with a blue label and, you know, 8 different types of supplements.
Let's take a quick break and get a word from our sponsor. Listen, it's getting more expensive to drive profitable traffic to your website every month, every year. You need to do everything you can to maximize conversions. That's why I love and use today's sponsor, JustUno. They're the best tool in the game for conversion rate optimization. 2 things I really love about them right now. I mean, they're, first of all, they're a really great company, really great team. You know, one of the best to work with. But 2 features I love of JustUno. Number 1, they have these AI-powered upsells that you can take and put anywhere in your store that has HTML. So you can put them in the checkout, you can put them in your cart, you can put them on the product page. This is their JustUno Plus product. And what's great about that, it has this AI in it that tracks buyer behavior and puts recommendations that people are actually gonna buy. So you get more conversions and you get higher average order value. And it's just gonna help your business scale a lot easier. And it's really easy to set up because you also get a strategist with it. And the JustUno Plus strategist, they know exactly what's working and how the best brands are leveraging JustUno. And they can take that insight and apply it to your brand with zero learning curve, and help you drive more conversions using their platform on your website. The second thing I really love about JustUno is their advanced list growth tools, and specifically how you can segment based on traffic and a ton of other different metrics so you can really maximize list growth as well as conversions using on-site pop-ups and different promotions that they have. And all of this works extremely well. JustUno customers see an average of 135% lift in revenue during their first year using the platform. And what's awesome about it is it also links to Klaviyo, PostScript, and all of the other software that you use. So you can close the loop, link everything together. Everything's personalized. Everything's automated. It's all nice and flows and connected. And it drives great results. So if you want to learn more about JustUno Plus and snag a sweet discount because you're a listener of this podcast, all you got to do is go to justuno.com/wavebreak. Link is down in the show notes below. It's justuno.com/wavebreak. Sign up for a free trial and get 20% off your first year by using code wavebreak. Like I said, it's down in the show notes below. Go check them out. Let's get back into this episode.
You know, so
I'm curious, like, what, like, do you see a difference in performance between, like, you know, private label generic company versus like a company who's like actually trying and actively building a real brand? Like, you know, the example client we talked about earlier, like, do you notice a difference in performance, retention, or like reviews, or like, is there any kind of difference that you see from those people to like the actual legit brands?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I do see a lot of difference. One is that there's no top of funnel brand awareness at the beginning, right? So there's like zero, versus the brands that are in brick and mortar or the brands that are trying to build content on Instagram or build a build a website with SEO and things like that, and doing major pushes. Then on Amazon, we would see, if I was like launching a brand on Amazon, knowing that that was happening off Amazon, I would start seeing branded searches on Amazon. And that's how I know that people are looking for that brand top of funnel. If a lot of times that doesn't exist. And so that's a more difficult mountain to climb from our end. You know, you have to work 100% on creating photos and A+ pages and videos that all of them are focused on building trust. Why? Because no one knows who this brand is. Why? Because if they look them up on social media or web or in the news, they can't find anything. Right. So you can understand some of the the challenges that can come up in that way, right? And so it becomes, okay, let's take real photos with real people and real dogs. And like, you know, you're just trying to make everything as authentic as possible to convey trust. And at least that's, you know, where the methodology I would come from. But from the review standpoint, it's, there were so many sellers in that time that kind of gamified the reviews, and really like businesses came and went that were around like trading product in exchange for reviews on Amazon, because reviews alone were enough to build a brand. That's just not the case anymore. And so it's becoming, you have to have more expertise and more expertise and more expertise. All the low-hanging fruit is kind of going away. A lot of the resellers are dropping off. And I'm actually stoked about it, because we're in a prime position for that, right? You know, been doing it a long time, so able to help sellers with a lot of those challenges that come up, like map pricing or things that legitimate brands have to deal with. So yeah, it's just, but at the same time, I've built supplement brands from zero to doing $1 million a year, and retired people from jobs that they hated after 20 years, you know, so I've done that more than half a dozen times. And so it is possible you can build a private label brand. Just as someone that does it all day, every day, I like working with brands that have a story to tell.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's what we're seeing too, is like, you know, back when I started Waybreak years ago, like back, so I started back in 2016, like that was kind of like peak drop shipping time also.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's, that's kind of like what I've noticed too, is like, you know, we've had dropship clients come and go over the years. You know, we don't have any now, and we haven't for a long time. Cause like, I mean, a lot of those companies are just gone. Like you really had to pivot into a real brand. And like, that's just what we're seeing. Like, that's why I preach a lot of what I preach, is like, the more you can actually build a real brand, the just like the better off you're going to be. Cause like, yes, competition's increasing and all these different things are changing. Acquisitions getting more expensive and all these different things. But if you build a real brand, right, that's why Nike can go into any channel and be successful. They can be successful in retail. They can be successful online. They can be successful on Amazon, because they have that brand and like people know them, versus kind of like you're talking about, like, you know, random blue supplement on on Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah. The difficulty is way harder to build a brand, and it takes way more time. So that's why a lot of people avoid it. And you know, the technical people that could figure out e-commerce or figure out drop shipping were capitalizing on other people having built brands that people know. Right. And so they were just using the Amazon channel to take advantage of those people with those brands, and not in a bad way, in like a mutually beneficial way in some ways. But what I mean is, a lot of them never learned how to build a brand along the way, right? They didn't learn how to storytell. They weren't reading books on marketing. They were just understanding an Amazon algorithm and capitalizing on it. But now that those times are going away, you need both. And I think that it's really a way to stand out. If you're worried about the Amazon brands, if you're worried about the Chinese resellers, the Amazon brands are built by people like me. Did you know that? Like, they hire agency owners or consultants like us to build a brand and then buy it off the agency owners. That's how Amazon builds brands, because they don't know how to story tell either. So it's just an interesting space. And forgive me if that was TMI, but just there's so much like that people don't understand around this platform. But just like, I mean, we've changed small businesses like lives before and after the pandemic in a big way. And everyone sees Amazon as the big monster. And I'm over here building brand after brand after brand after brand that's not the monster, and helping them scale and, you know, really realize their goals as an e-commerce company.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, what do you think about like this like new wave of companies that exist to acquire Amazon companies?
So it's exciting.
It seems like there's
for
a lot more now.
Yeah. So what happened was, for anyone listening, there is an IPO in 2020 with a company called Thrass.io. And they IPO'd for nearly $1 billion. Okay, so the pandemic's happening. All these businesses are closing. There's less opportunities to invest in, including real estate, including markets, like all of that stuff, stock markets. And then all of a sudden, this company that sells products, which products are the ones that get the least amount of attention by investors, and you know, they want software as a service, they want tech, they want scalable stuff. Products are just hard. And then there's this company that's smaller than Marknology, actually, in employee size, at least at the time, and they IPO for $1 billion. They raised $100 million to go out there and buy these Amazon brands. And I don't know what they're buying, so I don't want to speak to that too much because I don't know what actual businesses they're buying, but they're buying these private label brands, these kind of like sellers that have gotten themselves to $1 million in SKU in sales or different things like that. And they're rolling them up. Instead of Marknology working with 50 brands that pay us to build their brands, they're just set up in a way that's like, we're just going to build our own. And there's a part of that that I think is awesome, because I think what we do is incredible. And I think that people don't value what we do at the level that it should be. And, you know, it'd be like being the best SEO or website firm in the world. Imagine, you know, like what would that be worth? And there's really only like 50 agencies, maybe or less, that do what we do. So if you gave all of those agencies, you know, 150 brands even to work with, there would still be thousands and thousands and thousands of brands that need help on Amazon. So all that being said, that there is few agencies to go around in the beginning. Now there's even less. You know, I've probably had 10 private equity firms contact me in the last 12 months when I had had maybe two before that, you know, so that's like a big change. And, you know, for me, it's always been in my long-term goals to buy businesses or fix them up and kind of think of Marknology as like a digital construction crew, that designs homes, you know, but businesses. So from the inside out, like helping them kind of figure out what's broken, you know, get things working right, design it to look beautiful. And hopefully it's a, you know, it's a functioning home at the end of the day. Like, you know, our team is built to do that. So it's been in my, you know, my stretch goals, I guess, to acquire little businesses. And I've bought two probably in the last 6 months, but nothing like these companies are doing, these agencies that are acquiring businesses with $100 million investments. And, you know, I had three employees poached this last year. So by other agencies, there's no one going to school for this. There's a limited amount of actual talent in the space. So I'm like, throw all the money you wanted it, roll it up. I'm not sure that you can buy your way to expertise or success on Amazon. So I don't know. It's exciting to have eyeballs on what we do. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, it's great. And you guys don't actually have to spend the money to get all the attention. Like Thrash.io and like all these other companies who it's like, you know, every day, like I feel like another one pops up and they're all raising like crazy amounts of money. Like even like there's like these, I saw this article on these, you know, younger guys, I think in their early 20s, like they raised like, I forget what it was, like 50 million or something, or like to start buying and acquiring Amazon businesses. And it's just, it's crazy that it's popping up. Like, you know, as an Amazon brand owner, like, do you think it makes sense to sell to something like that? Or like, what would you recommend in terms of like, because I imagine like they're not necessarily probably giving the best deals all the time too. Especially with
works, or I don't know that much. Like I'm still trying to learn in mergers and acquisitions specifically. Like imagine that e-commerce and Amazon is already the Wild West, in my opinion. Like we don't have tons of regulations, so now we're buying and selling businesses, and there's not tons of regulations either. So it's kind of the Wild West, and I would encourage anyone to be as safe as possible, you know, and you know, definitely make sure you're working with people that understand selling a digital company or buying a digital company. It's not the same as, you know, real estate or commercial brick and mortar stores. There's just some different levels to it. I'm still trying to learn that. So, you know, I think that it's early, meaning you could get more for your business than you could 2 years ago. But I still don't think that it's like topped out by any means, you know? So understanding what you have and what are your long-term goals? Like, you know, I'm not attached to Marknology to a point where like I can't see myself living without it. I just like solving problems in e-commerce. So if someone bought my agency, I definitely wouldn't know what I'm doing next, but it wouldn't be the end of my world. But my long-term goals include like my family. So, you know, my family works with me at Marknology. And so for me, a buyout is not as ideal as maybe it is to another company that's, you know, maybe 60 years old and trying to get out. I think there's people at all different levels of kind of the game. And so to each of them, just understand what your long-term goals are. Your business might be worth more. Maybe you should hire Marknology and then try to exit. I don't know. But to each their own.
Yeah. Like how much potential do you think there is? Like, on, I mean, let's just maybe throw out some examples, example numbers. Like, let's say I run a 10 million a year business. Maybe it's brick and mortar. Maybe it's direct to consumer. I'm not, either way, I'm not doing Amazon. Like, how much potential revenue for me exists on Amazon? And like, maybe just to kind of like inspire people as we start to wrap up here, like, what is the potential of Amazon? You know, if that makes
sense.
Well,
I think it depends on your category. You know, so one time I was looking up for a manufacturer drinking fountains, right? And they didn't believe, like, people buying drinking fountains on Amazon. You know, it's like, well, let's do some, like, research and dig in.
I actually thought about it like years ago when I was doing SEO on Amazon. Someone randomly bought a drinking fountain through one of my affiliate links. And I was like, wait, can I scale this? Because the commission was insane.
Yeah. Well, that competitor is doing over $1 million a month now.
Wow. Of drinking fountains on Amazon.
Yes.
Like for like schools and stuff, like, or in gyms?
I think just people now are like, instead of buying through a distributor or whatever, it's like, I'll order the drinking fountain I want to save bottles. Maybe one of the ones that has, like, you know, the bottle refiller. And instead of, I'll order it on my Amazon business account because it's just tied into Amazon and I won't even have to go through the plumber. And then I'll just, like, maybe either through Amazon or, you know, through one of these apps that they have now, I'll just schedule a plumber to come do it. And it's like, It's just easier than having the plumber show up, get, you know, just order that thing, get the thing you want. I don't know. I'm doing a lot of things. I try to spend way less, like, shopping sometimes, you know, and to me, that's like streamlining my processes even as a business owner. And I'm like, look, you can think people aren't doing something yet, or like this product isn't on Amazon, but I've put products on Amazon where they were the first of its kind because I've been doing this a long time and there was no one to look at to see what they were doing, right? I took leaps of faith is what I'm saying. And those brands won. Things like Chicago Steak Company were the first to do food, like, in a big way on Amazon. And it was a huge challenge to figure out how to ship steaks on dry ice without, like, big return problems or like them sitting on steps or like losing money. But we did it. The same thing with men's formal suspenders. We had a clothing brand selling men's suspenders for like $120. And the only thing on Amazon was like $9.99 Hot Topic men's suspenders, you know? It was just like we took a leap of faith there too. And, you know, we ended up crushing it as well. So it's like, I think as far as potential, it just comes down to what category you're in. Are you a first mover? Are you a late mover? Do you care about branding and your customer's interaction with your brand? Or you just care about profits? Like, where's your interests lie? And, like, you know, what's your current situation on the platform?
Yeah, that's great. Like, typically, like, do you ever see like the brands you work with, like Amazon revenue outtake direct consumer? Is it usually direct consumer that's stronger? I guess it really depends on the marketing team and the e-commerce team you're partnering with. But like, what does that typically look like as far as which one's typically bigger? I mean, obviously it varies, but like, yeah, any clarity on that you can give us?
Like 1P versus 3P, like selling to direct to Amazon or selling yourself. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like as far as like percent of revenue for like a brand, like, yeah. If I'm on Amazon and direct to consumer, like, and both are like running full throttle, like if I'm a $10 million brand, am I also getting 10 mil off Amazon? Am I getting 5 or am I getting 15? Or like, what does that typically look like? Obviously it's going to vary, but like,
well, I think it varies. You know, I think that, well, there's multiple ways to sell on Amazon. So just so you know, there's like 1P and 3P. 1P would be where you sell like your product at like 50% to Amazon. Right. So like a typical wholesale customer, and it will say like shipped by Amazon and sold by Amazon. So Amazon's like buying Nike and selling it. Right. Then that's how they got brands at the beginning. Now people do 3P, which is kind of like direct to consumer. So we're using Amazon to ship it, but I'm still talking to my customers with emails. I'm still talking to my customers with customer service. I still own the inventory and can decide where it gets shipped to or not. I'm just using Amazon as the channel. Okay. So it's still kind of direct to consumer. Now, the revenue wise really just kind of depends. Like, again, I hate throwing out just like a ballpark number because you've got items that are $1,000, you got items that are $20, and you know, you start adding in shipping fees and advertising. Do we have to advertise heavy? Can we advertise light because it's a niche product? And so the amount you walk away with margin wise differs. But I would say that if you're shipping through Amazon FBA and Amazon's taking a cut, they're taking somewhere around 30%. And that really just depends. Are you doing FBM? Are you doing FBA? How much are you advertising? What's your return rate? Like, you know, you start adding in all those things, kind of like what's your acquisition costs on Facebook ads? You know, how much are you having to pay to get that sale? Is it really about the sale or is it about the follow-up, like with the, you know, email or text that's getting you kind of the second order with that customer? That's where you really start making the money. So I think Amazon is a volume game in general, which is, if you're doing 10 mil on the website, we should be able to do 15 or 20 mil on Amazon. You know, that's what I kind of think. But it just really depends on where you put your focus. Are we spending a lot on ads? Are we not? Are we just kind of like maintaining? I really try not to give blanketed advice because I really just do feel like Amazon is for everyone, but the way with which you go about it can really differ brand to brand.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And I wish we had more time, but like we keep talking about this forever, but I actually think that's a really good place to end on, because perfect place to, you know, ask where can we go and learn more about you if we are looking for a more tailored consultative approach to, you know, what are the best next steps on Amazon? What are the best next steps on like integrating it more into my direct consumer presence? Everything we talk about today, like for the people who are interested in learning more about you and Marknology, where can we go to do that?
Yeah. So Marknology.com. MarkNology.com, just a play on marketing and technology, kind of e-commerce sitting in the middle. I'm also on Instagram at Andrew Morgans. But all of my brand Marknology is on LinkedIn, TikTok, Twitter, wherever, Facebook, you can find us. And I'm going to have Dylan on the Startup Hustle podcast as well. So we'll just keep part two there. And if we have anything else we want to talk Amazon or off Amazon, we'll cover it in episode two. And so we'll just have to move our listeners over there if they want some more.
Yeah, that sounds great. No, I really appreciate you coming on. It was super fun to riff on that mutual client and what you've seen and just, you know, expand the perspective. Cause I know a lot of people who listen to the podcast are really focused on the .com side of their business. You know, just like that client we talked about, that mutual client of ours, you know, and as a result, they grow really fast that, you know, a channel and platform and marketplace like Amazon that has so much potential, you know, often gets left on the back burner. So really awesome to have you on the show. We're always talking direct to consumer. We're talking .com. So to be able to talk about this side is super exciting, refreshing. I think listeners will really enjoy it. So thanks so much for coming on the show today, Andrew.
Thank you, Dylan. I'll see you next time.
Now, listener, before I sign off, stop me if this sounds familiar. Your email marketing is stuck. You feel like you could be doing email better. You're not generating enough email revenue, and you feel like you're leaving money on the table. But you don't have the time to figure email out yourself or do it on your own because you have a business to run. Imagine this. Imagine not having to worry about leaving money on the table with your email marketing. Imagine not having to figure out what to send, when to send it, how many emails should look, what automation you need, what segments you need, how often you should be contacting your email list, or just worrying about sending the next email. You don't have to worry about any of that. Imagine having peace of mind knowing that your email marketing is generating sales in good hands. At Wavebreak, we help Shopify stores maximize their email marketing revenue. That's it. We don't do anything else. And we've created a system called the Wavebreak method that, number one, makes you less dependent on Facebook or other marketing channels. So let's say something bad happens. Facebook says, see you later, Shopify store. And they just completely kill your ad traffic overnight. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress because you're good to go because you have a cushion of email revenue. You don't have to worry about how or what your wife is going to do or if you're going to be able to make rent or if you're going to be able to pay people because you have this cushion of email revenue to rely on. Number two, the second thing this does is huge, and it's how stores scale from 7 figures to 8 figures to 9 figures. And the secret is repeat purchases. The Wavebreak method gets rid of one-time buyers and increases repeat orders. Number three, it keeps your email list engaged. You don't have to worry about Black Friday and beyond. We'll figure out the ideal amount of times that your list needs to be contacted to maximize revenue, and then we'll execute it for you. If you want to learn more about this system and how we can work together to apply it to your business, go to wavebreak.co to schedule a call with me. And I'll personally send you my calendar link and we can chat one-on-one. Now, I don't have unlimited time to do these calls. I can only do a couple of them per week. So if you want to get your call, go sign up at wavebreak.co for it as soon as possible. And we can talk about how we can work together. Thanks for listening to this episode. Subscribe to the show on iTunes to get notified of new episodes as soon as they drop.